Well, I hope you guys are having a very blessed Christmas season, getting ready for a new blessed year. All of God's blessings and challenges and tests that He has planned for us coming up. It is certainly good to be here again. And as we think about how great our God is, think about Him coming to earth to die, to take our place for the punishment of sin. I guess you could say He has stolen us from the punishment of sin. And that's the only time stealing was okay. But actually, He didn't steal because the enemy stole. And our nature stole from us. They continue to do that, but we have something to look to as we look at the Ten Commandments and we realize the grace of God. And we look at how far short we fall, or how long we fall. It's kind of a little problem with the amp there. I think it's picking up the stage or something. Anyway, we've been looking at the Ten Commandments. And as we have studied through the book of Exodus, and we now come to the Eighth Commandment, and of course that deals with stealing. And I believe that all societies, or say almost all of them, would be in agreement with this commandment because it is such an infringement on the rights of another as far as personal property is concerned. Nobody really likes that terrible feeling of having something taken from them that was theirs and finding out it's gone. It's a terrible feeling. We've all had things stolen probably in some manner or form. And you know how it makes you feel. Feel like you've been violated. Your rights have been taken whenever we have been invaded. And that might mean our house, or it might be our car. Maybe we've had CD players taken from us, or back in my days, it was cassette player. I had a cassette player taken right from this university here where I parked my car. And I went out there after class, and that brand new player I had in there, which really wasn't that great, but to me, it sure was. And I saw that it had been stripped, and all the speakers were gone, the wires were hanging down there, and it just made me feel really, really funny. And it's like, wow, it's gone, you know. Well, there have been other things like that probably that you guys had recognized. I don't think anybody has respect for a thief. And it's just like a murder. It's a law that all cultures that I would think of would have something against it. Although there are some societies that have some kind of murder law in some way, but I would believe most would be against that for obvious reasons. Now we know that the law always comes from God. The government that has been set up, the things that are basic and most fundamental, God has already given. And we are to use the wisdom that God has given us in how those are to be brought forth. I'm thankful for laws because they curb somewhat the evils of mankind. We know that it would be worse if we didn't have laws. If we had anarchy, we wouldn't be here. People would just do whatever they wanted to do, and that would destroy a nation in a hurry. So whether a nation believes in God or not, it doesn't negate the fact that God gave these commands and these governments use His law. And whether they know it or not, they use His law, and it's really honoring Him because He knows what is best, and He knows that it's for His people, it's protection. Stealing affects so many commandments. When you think about it, as we've gone through these commandments, we see how they're all related to the other ones. They're tied together, and they're all one. The connections, I think, are incredible. When we can see how we break the fifth commandment, for instance, honor mother and father, honor your parents. We can steal from parents by not honoring them. We steal the honor that is due when we do not honor. When there has been a murder committed, one has stolen a life from this world, from family, from friends, from their workplace. Whenever adultery has been committed, there has been a stealing of a spouse from another. And then when you think of lying, lying is dealing with stealing. And then coveting, the 10th commandment is almost directly connected to this commandment. And coveting is another thing. That'll be the 10th commandment. And so we'll elaborate on that further when we get to there. But the first four commandments that point to God are definitely broken too, because theft is involved when we don't honor God, when we don't put Him first, and when we have idols before Him, and whenever we take His name in vain, and whenever we do not honor Him by worshiping Him and on a day that the church comes together. We steal from Him when we don't pay Him what He is due. We steal. We rob from Him. Now, we might have the thought like this. Well, you know what? I know I'm not a thief. I know I've never stolen anything, and I sure don't plan on it. And so, therefore, I don't have to be convicted by this commandment. Now, those other ones we have looked at, yeah, I know in my heart those things have been there, but I don't ever want to steal anything from anybody. The thing is, we are all guilty again. We all get convicted again. As long as we look at this law, we're going to continue to get convicted, because it's right in front of our face and we fall so much short. The law shows what absolute righteousness is to the nth degree. And when you take it all the way to what even seems like legalism, it is the perfect law of God. The law is relevant, though, to us as Christians, is it not? It's relevant to us. We know, even as Christians, we want to honor God by the way that we live. And we see these commandments, how practical they actually are. We know, first of all, the commandments drive one to Christ, which is the most important. And it also works in the civil law, and we're thankful for that. And then it works in the Christian's life and how we are to glorify God. Thankfully, Jesus Christ conformed to this most perfect high standard. He met every one of the demands. And if you are in Christ, that is how God looks at us. We are in Christ. That is how the commandments are fulfilled. And it's by His grace that we have the desire to live these laws out. Because the law now is written on our heart. It's something that we should want to do. And when we fail in some area, somehow, in some way, and it's so easy to do, we claw on to that word grace and mercy. Thank You, Lord. Thank You for Your love. Because we see that we cannot fulfill it in ourselves. Thank You for Jesus Christ. Grace. Wonderful grace. Marvelous grace. Okay, that's what we look at as we go through these commandments. As a Christian, that's what we can do all at the same time. When we are convicted, at the same time we ask forgiveness, at the same time we're saying, thank You, Lord. Now, the first one is dealing with the reality of theft. Because we live in a fallen world, you're always going to have all of these commandments broken all day long. But the thing is, all the cultures really recognize this is wrong, and it would be absolute chaos, as we just mentioned. And we're thankful for the law that protects us from people coming into our homes. They still can come in. They can break it. They can break the law. But yet, it behooves one not to do that, for they risk punishment. They might get away with it, but maybe not. And so maybe somewhat there's some kind of a deterrent, something there that would keep them from doing it. Otherwise, people might just plunder all night long. Everything that you own could be gone. sinful nature of man, that's the reason why they still do it though. We know that the sinful nature wants to do the exact opposite of what God's Spirit wants one to do. They go against God when they break these crimes. The crimes that can bring incarceration. We have seen in our time on television disasters such as earthquakes, floods, hurricanes, and what people do whenever they get an opportunity to go into stores when nobody is in there, the owner is gone. Matter of fact, the whole city is evacuated and people hang out to go take as much stuff as they can. And you see it on TV, people carrying great big TVs right down on Main Street. Carrying big stuff, refrigerators, and just think of anything that you can think of, and they're carrying them out because they can, because there's nobody around. And the cops, there are not enough of them to keep this from happening. And so it goes on and on. They go right into stores, clear out all the food in the grocery stores, and just take it. That is the nature of man. And when he gets the opportunity to sin like that, he'll do it. They can show their absolute depravity. Mankind can cover up for so long. But eventually he shows. New Orleans, you'll remember that. And the Superdome and the things that were happening in that dome and the rape and the pillaging, plundering, the stealing and all the things that were going on just a few years ago. That incident, people acted like animals. And you could see it right there on TV, some of the things that they were talking about, or you could hear what they were reporting about. The eighth commandment was being broken all over the place, constantly. Well, it still is. We just don't see it as much. The problem is because there's a sin of unbelief. People do not believe God, so they steal. God doesn't take care of them the way that they would want, so they want other things. Well, it's because they don't believe God. They don't believe in Him. Look in Psalm 78, 19. Yes, they spoke against God. They said, can God prepare a table in the wilderness? Can God do that? Can God provide the food that we really need? This was showing really about the kindness of God, as the writer of this psalm brought out, and how rebellious Israel was. And this is the kind of things they were saying after he's proven over and over that he can take care of them. Gave them water, gave them food. They had everything they needed out there in the desert. And they were saying, can God prepare a table in the wilderness? They were doubting that. They were not believing God. And when people don't believe that their needs are being met, they can do thievery. Matter of fact, people will not have a job, but they'll take all their time planning and scheming and coming up with different ways to get possessions that are not theirs. And sometimes I think they even work harder and get their mind to working harder than it would be if they were working on the job to go out and get something that is not theirs, to take it from somebody. They don't believe in God. They don't believe in His ways. So they go against Him. They violate His laws and they violate others to get stuff. And I mean that. Stuff. You know, we're in a stuff society. The more things that you get, the more successful you are, and the better off and more happier you are. Right? No. It does not make one happy. Maybe for a couple of days. And we're thankful for stuff. I'm not saying we shouldn't have any kind of material goods. But it should be put in its proper order. We're thankful, but can we live without them? Well, as long as we have food and water and our clothing, and we have God, that's all we need. Thank you, Lord, for all the other stuff you've given us. My, I don't deserve any of it. I don't even deserve the breath you give me. much less all the stuff. But people want stuff. When one is a thief, they don't believe God. They don't believe God will take care of people. They don't believe they're going to get what they need. The deal is this. If people would just trust God, there wouldn't be thievery. Well, the second one I'll mention here, there's different ways we can go here, but is that word covetousness is mentioned quite a lot in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. Coveting. What is coveting? That's really the 10th commandment. Like I said, we won't spend a lot of time on this one because we'll be there shortly. In Colossians 3:5, it says, "Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire." Connected with all of those is what? Covetousness. Coveting is something that people can't see. Now, they can see the stealing, they can hear the lying, but they don't see the coveting. Coveting is in a desire that's in the heart. It's inward. It can manifest, but it says covetousness actually is idolatry. To covet is idolatry. That means to put something before God. It is wanting something that is not yours, and you would like to have that what your neighbor has. You want it. You don't want it for God's glory or anything. You just want it. And so Paul saw that one, and it connected with him because he saw inwardly where he was at. Outwardly, do you think Paul was stealing anything? Outwardly, do you think Paul was lying? Do you think he was committing adultery? So all those things. He thought he was not having idols. He thought he was honoring God. And he got to the 10th and it laid him flat. It killed him, he said, in Romans 7. Coveting. It's all dealing with this. So you have the sin of unbelief. You have coveting. Idolatry. It's greed. It means that one is worshiping his desire. So you turn your coveting into idolatry. It's worshiping what one desires. Because of that, they're committing idolatry. That's going against one of the first commandments there, isn't it? And there we have it again. Having other gods. Another thing that stealing means is being slothful. Being lazy. People in our society don't want to work. There's a lot of people who don't want to work. Now, there are a lot of people in our time today, though, that are out of work right now. They can't help it. That's another thing. There's one thing about wanting work and not having work. There's another thing about saying, I don't ever want to work. I don't enjoy work. I'm never going to even be involved with any kind of work. I'll just get it another way. That's the kind of thing we're talking about. Or letting the government take care of them. We live in a society, that's where what people would really desire to do. Let the government give them food stamps and they'll live on that. They don't have to go out and get a job. They'll live on the streets and beg or something like that when they could very well take care of themselves. I know that Paul says, if you don't work, you don't eat. Okay. So we see in that sense. So that there's I draw this line there because we know today it's hard to get a job. People are out of jobs. So we don't condemn that, but we're talking about the people that don't want to. And they'll be taken care of. If people don't take care of them, what will they do? Well, they'll go out and steal it. So why do we have so much theft today? All over the United States. Happens constantly. Especially at this time of the year. I understand that people love to break into homes because all the Christmas stuff has been gotten, especially just before Christmas. Everything is all wrapped and they just take it and load it up and put it in their vans and take off. Break into homes and do that. But these people, actually, they work hard at stealing. Too bad they couldn't put it into further use. So thieves are lazy. Thieves covet. And worst of all, they are unbelievers. You say, well, how can you say that? You mean if people steal things, you say they're going to go to hell? Well, if that's their practice, it is linked with stealing is linked with coveting. Coveting is linked with idolatry. All those commands are broken in there. If you look in Colossians 3:6, after he has made kind of a little bit of a list of fornicators and evil desires, uncleanness, passion, and all that, covetous was idolatry. He says, because of these things, and that's not a complete list, because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. They're sons of disobedience. They have the nature of man. The nature of man, if he's not changed, will always send one to hell. God's wrath will be upon them. So a thief is one who will go to hell. If he practices that and that's his lifestyle, well, that will not be tolerated by God. So anyway, God's wrath will come upon them. Let's go to the second one. Let's look at a little bit of a list. The way that this commandment is broken. How is this commandment broken? We're just going to look at a few. But I think that we will recognize some of them are just pure thievery. Some of them will say, is that really stealing? I hadn't thought of it that way. Some things are, we don't think of it as being so obvious as being robbery. So I want to tell you that living in the flesh that we all live in, we have a battle with the Spirit. And believe it or not, even though you don't think so, you probably have a little bit of a problem with this commandment and not know it, just like all the other ones. We break this law. Now, the first few you may not ever see in your own life. Blatant theft, that's the one that where people just take things from other people. Everybody knows that's wrong. Anybody should agree that's wrong, right? Another one is borrowing something from somebody and not bringing it back. And we might tend to forget about it and having a little excuse on that. But when it's still kind of something you didn't put your mind to that you really need to give that back, and as time goes on, we just kind of set it aside. We never return it. Well, believe it or not, that is stealing. Now we're getting into a little bit of a nitty-gritty thing here. May not be intentional, but it could be a little bit of laziness or just not putting it to mind. It's not caring enough to get it back to the one who loaned it. Another one is not paying a debt. People, especially maybe in families, sometimes they'll loan money and they expect to get that money back. They won't charge interest. And maybe they make an agreement, but over a period of time, because they're related, they haven't really gotten all the extra money that they hope they could pay with. And because they're friends or relatives, they just fail to pay that back. Well, guess what? That's stealing. Stealing money from someone who has the right over that money. Another one is misusing the employer's time and property. Now, the statistics say this, that Americans goof off, I don't know if they use that word, but they goof off at work 20% of the time. 20% of the time. People call in sick. When they're not sick, they give less than their best work. They take supplies from their workplace. It's staggering how much people are stealing from their place of employment. All this goes on at the workplace. Even something that seems so small as taking an extra few minutes off from work, maybe on a break, maybe adding on another 5-10 minutes. But that can be considered stealing time. It's stealing money from the one who hired you. It's not permitted. Equipment in the office that's meant only for office work, but it's used for personal reasons and not having permission to use that, may seem really minute, but it shows our attitude that what we owe to somebody or whatever property they have, we don't take it as serious as maybe we should. You know, we might chat with the employees, the other employees, our friends there, a little bit more than what we should. Or how about surfing the internet at work on the employer's time, just for their own use? Now, that seems kind of innocent, but it's really wrong. It's actually stealing. How about wasting others' possessions? How many of you guys know places where somewhere along the line where you have rented a house and the people that rented the house before you made a shambles out of that place? Renters, not really caring about who owns that house. Boy, that happens a lot. In Luke 16, you have the unjust steward. God allowed that steward to take care of that property. So he was to use that wisely. He didn't own it, but he knew it was the owner's. But he was guilty of wasting the resources of the owner. So wasting others' possessions. Another one would be paying bad wages. If a boss could not pay what is worth paying, and Julia, I'll get that check to you tomorrow. She's given me 2 days. It's right here. I haven't given her a check yet. I said that the other day, and I didn't see yesterday. So I feel guilty right now. Forgive me. She's a hard worker. Every time I say this one, it almost makes me feel guilty because I don't feel like I'm paying enough for what really is given to me as a boss. I need to be paying more. I wish I could in a lot of ways. That goes to my son back there who works so hard at my work. I hope it's not considered thievery, but I'd like to make it much better. But there are some who take advantage of people in a very overbearing way. In James 5, verse 4, indeed, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, cry out. And the cries of the reapers have reached the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. That's the owners who oppressed, or the rich oppressing the poor, and then also the ones who worked for their living and they didn't get paid. And boy, that happens too. My nephew, Andrew, you guys know Andrew, the blonde-headed guy. And hi, Andrew, if you're listening to this. Saw him this weekend, and you know, he was doing a job for a guy, and he worked hard. He was there and working a lot of extra hours as he was painting. The guy never paid him. He kept saying, "I'll get it to you. I'll get your check to you." He worked for weeks like that. I'm not sure how long it was, but it was definitely enough time to get paid. And the guy never paid him. I think he wound up going to jail for some other reasons or got caught with something. So anyway, now I'll get to some that even really hit anybody. If we were to fail to tip waitresses and waiters who were doing their job, we're stealing from them because they did something and we didn't tip them. Slander. How about slander? Does that have anything to do with lying? Yeah, because slander happens when we talk behind somebody's back, bad about them. What it does is start stealing their reputation. Steals others' reputations. Another one is adultery and fornication. You can say, well, how does that have anything to do with stealing? Well, it takes away the moral purity from another. One's purity has been stolen when this happens. And if it's adultery, it means one's spouse has been stolen from another. Another one is plagiarism, to take somebody else's work, whether it be written out or something like that, to take it as your own and to take credit for it. Now, there's a lot of times where I take quotes and stuff, and sometimes I might fail to put who put down here, you know, and makes it look like, oh, wow, man, Dennis came up with a really good thought there. Uh-oh, I need to put that down. Well, a lot of times I'm borrowing so much from everybody else that if I did that, I'd be saying their names all the time. And I think that's probably the way it's going to be with anybody. We're borrowing from others. I hope it's not stealing. But if we were to copy down word for word what they had and to use their message, and then I would be in trouble. I would be doing something really wrong. But I have to borrow a lot of stuff from commentaries and put it down the way that I think that it would work out for me and work out for you guys. But still, yet I'm, you know, you hear a lot of different names that I'll use throughout the course of time, and they do it too. And it's been done for thousands of years. People have to, they borrow thoughts from others. You know, it's good to have all your own thoughts, but then I get leery about myself if I just come up with my own thoughts and it's not tested. Nobody else has said this before and I'm saying it. Hey, I could be wrong with this. I feel a lot better if historically it's been said and it's being said again today by people I trust. And so that's why a lot of things will be familiar. But I'm not trying to justify myself, but I wouldn't want to do a plagiarism because that would be cheating. It'd be cheating myself, it'd be cheating you, it'd be cheating everybody else, but I do borrow ideas. Cheating on schoolwork. You know, if you're a student and going over here looking at other people's other different ways. A lot of different ways to cheat. Tax fraud. This really misrepresents what we really owe the government. That's stealing. To cheat on taxes is to steal from the people of the United States. And my, in the time that we live in, we have elected officials who we find out that are high up that have been caught with that. And they go, oh, excuse me, I forgot about that. We're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars sometimes. I forgot about that. And they got elected? Identity theft. Boy, did we hear about that one today. That is a big one. 9 million Americans per year have had their identity stolen as reported by the FTC. That's a lot. You may not have had it, and you may have. I don't know. But it's something that you think about. It's awfully easy. Many people have heard about getting their credit card numbers, you know, stolen, and as a result, lost just literally thousands of dollars. You probably know of somebody that has had that happen. Money is stolen electronically out of people's accounts. Nobody knows who it was, how it happened. So the electronic digital world that we have, that is, I think, in a lot of ways, very good. It benefits us. It saves time. Sometimes I wonder if it really does. But it actually, you know, the computer world, it does. I mean, in a lot of ways, it does things that we couldn't come up with as quick. And so we say modern technology is good. But it's like any instrument that we use. It can be used for the good. It can be used for the bad. Whenever television came in, you had a lot of people going, oh, no, this is the worst thing that could ever happen to us. Well, if they were foreseeing some of the things that we are seeing today, or seen for the last few decades, I'm sure that they had every right to say that. But you can use that TV for good. There are people actually on there that actually have something good, or at least might be at least good entertainment. You know, nothing wrong with that. You know, it's how we use it, though, ultimately. You know, if we're using it for bad, well, it's just like our bodies. Our bodies are instruments. They're tools. And we can use these bodies for good or use them for bad. Most of the time, sinful man is going to use instruments for sinful means. The instruments themselves are not bad. But how are they using them? Copyright violation. There's more stealing. Music is one of the biggest ways that copyright laws are broken today. Huge. Today, more than ever, music is stolen from the writer. He wrote that. He has the rights to that. And once again, technology has a lot to do with it, because if you look to the next one there, it's unlawful downloading. The internet is a wonderful thing. You can get a lot of information there that you never could before in a tremendous, quick way. And we have an opportunity to use it for God's glory. As a matter of fact, the gospel has gotten out in a huge way like it has never been before. It is just all over the place. Constantly, people are, you know, blogging, and you have ministries recording their messages and putting on their mind. You can go and listen to anybody you want at any time now. I'm just blown away what has happened just in the last few years. People have opened up the floodways of their ministries and just let everything be available that they have done for the last 30 years, 40 years. That's a blessing. Our own church. As small as we are, is going out all across the United States. I don't know who's listening. I know there are people listening. But we get that set up and it just goes out there. And it can go all over the world. Coming from Jeff City, Missouri. And other people are doing the same thing. I think it's a great opportunity to get it out, you know. But I do know some people that are listening to it. Don't know too many people, but maybe there'll be people that stumble across it and use it, and we never know. That's okay. However God wants to use it for His glory, well, fantastic. Do it, Lord. It might be touching a lot more than we would ever imagine. And so don't forget that. We want to use everything that we can for God's glory in the best way we can. But there are unlawful things that are happening that are dishonest. The stealing off the internet is on a wide scale. People are illegally downloading music and videos in a way that is... Some of this stuff you don't know whether it's legal or not. What is illegal as far as taking a CD and then copy it and burn it off to give somebody, that's wrong. But then you can go and they leave open things for you to take free. And I'm going, is this right? Well, I guess it is. They're making it available. And sometimes you don't know who's making it available. Is this the artist? Well, it could be. In a lot of cases, it is. Sometimes they allow only certain things to be free and others not. And I don't know how all this works. It is. I think it's very complicated. I don't even know how you could put a law over it. It's gotten so much widespread that a lot of the writers who own this material that they're writing, I'm sure they're glad that it's getting out, but they're not getting paid for it. How are the musicians going to get money if eventually everything is on the internet and you can take it off of there and you don't have to pay anything? How, you know, what's that going to affect? I don't know. But there have been a lot of people who have been caught. I mean, with something that specifically, you know, it's illegal downloading. People, some young people in college age and such have been caught and highly fined. And it's to send a message. But that's very few. And I know there's a fine line there. A lot of times I myself don't know, hey, is this right or wrong? I don't know. Defined the way it used to be, it'd be wrong. But now, I don't know for sure. I guess if one really looked it up and tried to get permission with all that, I don't know. But writers, artists, are being duplicated. They're not getting paid for it. People might have a CD. Like I said, when you burn off a CD and then you give it to other, like 10 friends. Now, let's say 5 of those might want to go out and buy the CD. They're not doing that. They're getting it free from somebody who might have downloaded it illegally or legally or went and got the CD, but everybody else shares in it. That actually is wrong. And who is it cheating? The writer, the artist, the company, the reps who go out from the companies, and then finally the retail store, which I can definitely identify with it. I can tell you that there has been a tremendous drop in music, especially and mainly in, not trying to put down one slot here, but mainly your young people who used to come in and buy a lot of CDs. If they're bought, they're usually bought by parents anymore. And so what they're doing is they're getting a copy and they're sending it. They can make it 10, 20, 30. Just get them out to all their friends. And that's a cool thing. But that is money taken away. So it's actually against God's law. It's against the law of our country. And it affects the salary of a lot of people. So it goes down the chain. Deceitful scales. People mark up the prices more than what it's worth. When people mark up the price of their products exorbitantly, it goes far beyond what it should be. They make the product not worth what they're paying for. They've stolen from the consumer. In our time, it seems like everybody is gouging and extending the price up much more than ever before, and the quality is less. You feel like you've been stolen from sometimes when you go and you buy a bag of whatever. It used to be 12 ounces and now it's new and improved and you pay 50 cents more and you only get 9 ounces. Have you seen that kind of stuff? Shame on them. Shame on them. They're stealing. I know there is inflation and one has to cover their costs, but that makes matters worse when people say, well, I got to get back what I did. It finally comes to a line, what is it? How do you do this? Well, sinful man creates these kind of problems. Jesus condemned the money changers in the temple. Remember that? What they were doing as far as making change wasn't necessarily wrong, but they were adding on to what it cost. So really, your 50-cent piece that you're putting in there, or your dollar piece, is going to cost you $1.30. You know, the change that you get back is going to be less than what you're exchanging for. And then, of course, the animals are going to raise the price up on that at this particular time. They're gouging them. And how about whenever there is a disaster? And whenever you have these people on their trucks have all this bottled water and they drive up and all of a sudden that bottled water that's like a dollar in the, you know, or what, at Walmart it's what, $3 or $4 for 24 of them. Now all of a sudden it's like, it could be $5, it could be $10 for one bottle of water. Because these people are really thirsty. Really, I mean, they really have a need, so people take advantage. Isn't that sinful? That is thievery, stealing. It makes me mad whenever I see people take advantage of that. The ultimate theft, though, is this. Malachi chapter 3, verse 8 through 10. And Malachi is right at the end of the Old Testament. Everybody's heard this before. Let's start verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And so we see the ultimate theft. That's robbing God in the worst way. This is the worst way we can steal. This is something nobody else will probably know about. God does. When we fail to give His due to Him, we've stolen from Him. When we hold back from giving our money to the local church, we are guilty. There are a lot of parachurch organizations and other ministries out there that we give to, and you can say, well, that's all I need to give to. I'm doing my tithing. But God has given the local church the distributing, and we should give to others. That's okay. But it starts with the local church where we have that money there, and then it is to distribute that. Of course, we as a church, we have quite a few expenses here as a small church, and but at the same time, we might need to have other suggestions by other people. Hey, if we have a storehouse here and there's things that we need to be doing, then we need to put those suggestions together and say, how can we further the kingdom as a body? Whatever money we have. We might only have a few dollars. We might have a lot of dollars sitting there. Sometimes we do. And it's like, okay, now what can we do with this? We do give to some ministries. I think there's some more ministries we can give to, and some other opportunities. We have individuals that I know that we can help out. So whenever, you know, one has a thought to that, we need to get together and say, hey, how can we further the kingdom of God better? We don't want to rob God. We just want to have it sitting here. We don't want money just sitting and not doing anything at all. It should be going out and ministering. I'm just putting that forth, saying, hey, I feel short on this. I need some help. Who's good with ideas and finances? How can we put this together and help do that? We are a distributing house where we are to distribute the money. So, you know, it's like I say, it is going for ministries and different things, but maybe we can do it in a bigger way. We don't want to rob God in that way. We want to make sure that we're distributing to others' needs. And believe me, there are a lot of ministries, and even ones we're supporting right now, who are really hurting really bad. They do radio ministries and internet ministries, and because of the economy, they are millions behind. So maybe we can help out in that way. And just some ideas. But be thinking about that. Just, I don't know if that goes along with the stealing thing here, but you know, it kind of does in a sense. How else can we rob God? Not only of money, but what? Talents. What God has given you, don't rob Him. Use what He's given you. Whatever gift that may be, whatever talent that may be, put it to use. The energy that you have, make it go out there and make it count for the kingdom. The resources that you might have, just kick it into gear and put it out there and let God do His thing. You know, whatever that may be is, and say, hey, whatever it is, I want to use it for God's glory. He's given me this, and here's what we, you know, we can do with this. If we hold back anything from God and not ever use it, eighth commandment is broken. We just stole it from God. So you see, it's just the little things. We all fall short on this. We really do. And we're not trying to be legalistic, but we're saying, yeah, I've broken this law again. But I thought at least I'd get away with this one. Then I have to walk out of here feeling guilty again. Do you see how broad the implications of all these commandments are? We're not perfect. We're nowhere near it. But thank the Lord for His grace. Huh? Isn't it great? The guilt is just as bad as if we had stolen from the national treasury. Now, when we're dealing with stealing, what we want to do is turn the flip side of this. Remember all of these commandments, a lot of them have the do not do this, do not steal, thou shalt not, right? That's the negative, but it also implies very heavily that there is a positive. Well, what's the flip side? What's the positive? We've been speaking negatively on all this. Well, if you were to turn to Exodus 22, which is just two chapters from our Ten Commandments, I don't know if we'll read all of this, but in Exodus 22 actually is a description of what stealing is. Just some examples of practical living. Like he starts off in verse 1. If a man steals an ox or a sheep and slaughters it or sells it, he shall restore 5 oxen for an ox and 4 sheep for a sheep. So if you took an ox, okay, you're caught. You have to take 5 oxen and give them. That's a lot. It's a lot to just steal 1 ox or that many sheep. You got to pay it back and much more, 5 times as much. If the thief is found breaking in and he is struck so that he dies, there should be no guilt for his bloodshed. For your own protection, if a thief comes in there while he's in your house, well, is that still kind of in our laws today? It's not in our laws today. They've changed that, haven't they? Did the liberals do that? Yeah. I don't know. See, I have to ask, is that still there today? It was for a long time. Matter of fact, as long as I can think of going back to our Constitution. But I guess things change, don't they? When man gets a hold of the law, he easily gets a hold of God's law and wrangles it about to further man's own humanity. If the sun has risen on him, there shall be guilt for his bloodshed. He shall make full restitution. If he has nothing, then he shall be sold for his theft. If the theft is certainly found alive in his hand, whether it is an ox or donkey or sheep, he shall restore double. You can go on and on. You read the 9 verses, actually 15 verses about that. It gets into real practical stuff. But it definitely is real. What are we talking about here? There's clarification in this chapter. The scope is definitely found there. If you looked in Deuteronomy 23:25, again, it's the law. Law really is not boring. It definitely explains things. And the Ten Commandments are short. Don't steal. But here's chapter 22. And then we get into Deuteronomy 23. And let's see. What verse was that? Verse 25. When you come into your neighbor's standing grain, you may pluck the heads with your hand. That's not stealing. But you should not use a sickle on your neighbor's standing grain. Okay, for the ones who didn't have their own land and were hungry and starving, they could go into a field and pluck some off and feed themselves for that particular time. But don't go in there, you know, taking truckloads out of there. You know, that's a good law. God knew that there would be people that would be needy. But you know what? Another thing He's stressing here, there's property that people are to own. That means God is not a communist. He never was a communist. Matter of fact, He was in the truest sense of the word, I guess you could say, you know, our capitalism is totally flawed today, but in the sense of you can have your own property. You should have your own property. He ordained that. It's good for people to have their own stuff. It's okay to have your own stuff. So looking at God's law here, we see that. We're not to share the wealth. You've heard that terminology? Let's share the wealth. Sounds good off the bat. Oh yeah, boy, we can get some of that money those rich people have, you know, and kind of float it down to us down here, and we can all be happy with this. That doesn't work in a sinful society. It never has and never will. That's, you know, the kingdom, whenever it comes, we'll all have different talents and abilities. But can you imagine what we have? And we will never covet because we'll all own it. We'll all own this thing. It's really God's, but yet we inherit everything because of Christ. We're co-inheritors. But down here on this earth, in the sinful way, it's not going to be that. Imagine, John Lennon says, if there is no heaven. Imagine there is no hell. What is he really saying? Well, if he only knew, he'd go into the Word of God and see that that place is going to exist one day, but it will not happen here because of sinful mankind. Mankind thinks they're so good and they're going to get up to a certain point and keep evolving that eventually we will have everything we want and we'll all be happy forever after. That's a lie, isn't it? That's a lie. But if we're in Christ, we know what's true. We have our things. We have property. That's good. God has said that. But you know what? They're really not ours. It's ours, but it's not ours. You can use it. Do what you want with it. Make sure that it's not going against God's law. 100% God owns. Everything you have, God owns it. We just manage it. We're stewards. So when one steals from you, who are they really stealing from? God. Now that is the ultimate theft, isn't it, when we steal from God? I think there are a lot of biblical instances to show that we have property, private property, personal property. It's a good thing. And that was built into our government. It's a good thing. We see what happens, though, with it. Mankind wants more and more, and he gets greedy. That's his nature. Sure, they're all going to do that. We all have been greedy. But we really believe in that personal property, and that socialism wants that to be taken from us. Even socialism has some personal property, but not much. Not much at all. Adam and Eve, back in Genesis, they were entitled to everything, but to one thing, tree of life. They were to subdue it, and they were to take dominion over it, work it, wouldn't even be any sweat. Not a bad deal, was it? You go on later on, Abraham and Sarah. Abraham wanted a tract of land for his wife and had to buy it. She was buried in that land. The 12 tribes, each tribe was allotted a certain area. That land was to be their own. Naboth and King Ahab, you have Naboth who owned the land and he didn't want to sell it to the king. And Jezebel wanted that and proceeded to have Ahab get that land and he wanted it. There's private ownership here. God definitely endorses that. Jesus' parables, you have the landowners and you have the servants. Wasn't condemning any of those. The servants are responsible for doing what they're supposed to do, the landowners. So we see Jesus taught private ownership. There were vineyard owners and stewards and talents were talked about in the parables. Work. Work is the best remedy for people who are prone to steal. If we looked in Ephesians 4:28, it says, let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. This is the ultimate. You want to get the money so that you can make a living for you and your family. You know, there are things that we have to have. But then when you have other money, he says, here's what you do with it. You give it. Wow, that's a new kind of thing, isn't it? It says, work with your hands what is good, that you may have something to give him who has need. Somebody's in need, okay, you can take that and you can give it to him. Hard work will take away the idea and the thought of stealing that so many people do. We're to give those in need. That's a good reason to work. We want to help them in need, and the widows, the orphans. But to not to those who don't want to work. They're out there begging and everything. But at the same time, if you offered them a full-time job, they wouldn't want it. They want people to give to them. So therefore, and I can't know people's hearts and minds. Sometimes it's probably really legitimate whenever they have a sign out and says, we'll work for food. And that might be well true. And if that be the case, well, okay. But some of those same people can be the ones that you might be feeling sorry for, and God's word says they don't work, they don't eat, if they don't want to work. And that's the idea. And again, I got to be careful in drawing this line, because there's some that have tried and that they're still looking for that job that God has for them. And you know, wisdom here, obviously. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10. Yeah, it says, for even when we were with you, we commanded you this, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. So there's all the people who are on welfare, and they don't try to get any jobs, they don't want a job, because they can do better off if the government will give them money, and they will give them money to take care of all of the kids that they've had out of wedlock. You can go on and on with that, and they just expect to get money from the government. I'll tell you what, we do not help them out at all, because they are taking advantage of a situation and they don't want us to work. But then on the other hand, Acts 20, verse 34, like I say, sometimes you don't know about certain situations. It's great when we have God's Word, and it pretty well will give you the answer to everything. Matter of fact, I say it does give the answer to everything. Sometimes you really have to use the wisdom out of it, but all things pertaining to life and godliness is here. But Acts 20, verse 34 says this. Yes, you yourselves know that these hands have provided for my necessities and for those who were with me. I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus that He said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Oh, that's a good Christmas message. It's more blessed to give. It is, isn't it? Don't you like to give actually more than getting anyway? Anyway, able to distribute. So do you see the positive side in all this? It's stewardship. It's God's. We get the opportunity. The flip side says God owns it all. We manage it. All the earth is mine and all the fullness in it. As God has said here in His Word in Exodus, He has said that. There is personal property. We're just stewards despite what we own. We just have stuff for a season. It's not very long while we're here. We're responsible for what we do. You know what the essence is? The essence is giving and not stealing. So the positive side is this. Take what God has given you. Use it for your own family. If you have some where people can use, you want to help them. And I think of a man by the name of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a thief. He was a tax collector. He stole money from people because he added on to what they really owed the government. And Jesus knew that. And what happened with Zacchaeus? As he was converted, he realized that anybody that he knew that he stole from, he would pay back fourfold. four times as much to all the ones that he had cheated. He was a changed man. And that is the positive side of stealing. And we see one end of Zacchaeus and then we see the other side. And what a work that God's Word does in people, His Holy Spirit. And that is a little bit of a thought of what stealing is. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You for this time that we've had today. May we glorify You in everything that we do, in all the money that You've given us, the abilities, the talents, the time that You've given us, everything. That really, that's where this strikes at us. May we be able to use all these things in different ways that can serve the lost and other believers and whatever that may be. Thank You for allowing us to be able to use these things in any way that we can. Help us to glorify You in them. And as we walk out of here, may we give glory to You. In Jesus' name, Amen.